The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Usavakra desa hekna disi frate marite flatosti hafain nesofe tohala minosofe. Yes, for the things which have been sealed in ages past, the things which have been sealed from many people, the things which I told the prophets before you to seal and speak to no one, the things which I said to the prophets before you, do not pertain to them. The things which I said to the apostles before you to seal and write not, they are the things which I unveil. They are now being unveiled. They are the things which I now unveil. For the season to unveil them is come. The season to bring them to fruition is come. The people for which they have been sealed for are come. The people for whose sake this work has been brought forth, they are here. Yeah, for mercy has brought to you the writings of old, has brought to you things that have been written in the holy book, things that are in the book, things that are in the book. For it is time to write upon the hearts of men. It is time to write them upon the hearts of men. It is time to write them upon the hearts of men. It is time to write them upon the hearts of men. Yea, mercy has brought the writings. That which has been written in the book, which was said, is been written. For what is written, only that at this time must be rewritten upon your heart. Must be written again upon the tables of your heart. Hey, what a blessed generation. What a people so separated. What a people so honored. For mercy has brought you nigh. Mercy has drawn you close. Mercy has brought you nigh. Mercy has separated you for the writings to be accomplished in this season. For a writing has been apportioned for this season. A writing has been apportioned to be written upon the hearts of men. And this is what the high priest is doing. He is beginning to write upon the tables of your heart. He is beginning to put contents that will not be removed anymore. He is beginning to put things that will die with you. Things that will live with you for all of eternity. For all of eternity. Things that will remain with you. Yea, and this is the season upon the church all over the earth. This is the season upon the church all over the earth. Yea, now it is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. And upon many hearts, upon many tables of the heart, things are being written. Things are being written. Things are being written. Things are being written. And the image of God is being communicated. Yes, the image of the invisible God will be expressed in the earth, because when it has been written, it will become an expression which will define existence. When it has been written, it will become an expression that will define a future. When it has been written, it will become an expression that men will live by. Yea,
away, for God is about to be seen. God surely will be seen. God is being written upon your heart. Do not keep your heart away. God is being written. It's being skillfully sculpted in your heart. It's being skillfully crafted upon your heart. It's being skillfully imprinted upon your heart. Yea, and in this season, you will bear God. You will bear God. You will bear God. For it shall be written upon your heart. It will be written upon your heart. It will be thine. It will be thine. It will be thine. For when it is written, it becomes your own. When it is written, it becomes your own. Wait. 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 Until this is completely written. Until this is completely written. For it will be written. It is begun to be written. It has been written in the hearts of apostles. It is being written now upon your own heart. For you are blessed. Mercy has brought you that you will be a God and show God in the earth.
Amen. So God is walking. God is is bringing himself to us, and that is causing on our part change, because we can't change until we see him. It's when we see him that we change into the same image. So tonight I will bless the Lord for this privilege to have this witness digging with us. I believe you are here with all of your heart. It's just only mercy that can bring about the salvation of man, to bring man to a place when he's just not a mere man anymore, when he's not just an earthly entity. It's great salvation. It can only be reasonable in the gospel. Outside the gospel is unreasonable, because it's unthinkable. It's unthinkable. But the wisdom of the gospel, as it unveils, you know, from time to time, just tells us that God has prepared, he has made provision for it. He has, you know, he has not kept us in the dark. Amen. It tells us it is what he intends to do. And he has committed so much resources for so long a time to see them done. So we give thanks to God for grace to for the evil heart to be turned around, to become good. Amen. And then you know what makes the evil, the heart evil, is unbelief. We call it the evil heart of unbelief. As simple as unbelief look like, it's a killer. In the program of God, it's evil in God's sight, because it does not make what God intends to be possible. So God wants us to take heed, to pay attention, to ensure that we are not caught in the web of unbelief. Amen. Praise God. And so he's speaking to us expressly, bringing no profound word to us, so that we can overcome unbelief. He does not speak at this a level to us, unbelief can easily capture us. You know, at the moment you trust God can do what he wants to do. At another time you are wondering, is it possible? When you look at yourself side, you know, the side of man, it looks impossible. But Bible says, it doesn't say with man. It says with God, all things are possible. And all things are also possible to the man who can believe. So what makes the man move from the sphere of being the man is belief. Amen. So, we're not staying in the sphere of man because we have what it takes to believe God. Hallelujah. So, we're looking at this program of, that's all about the gospel. Inheriting eternal life is salvation. That's what God's salvation, to inherit eternal life is salvation. And what Christ Jesus died for, and what is expressed as God's love for us, is that no man should perish, but should have eternal life. Is that not? For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish. He shouldn't perish, but he should have everlasting life. So salvation is inheriting everlasting life. Praise God. And the major job we have seen in that investment is the soul. The soul is the major tool of inheritance. Once the soul can inherit it, it's done. It's not difficult for God to make the spirit inherit it, because the spirit just needs faith. Simple faith. Faith of operation of God to get it quickened at once. That spirit, that is nature. He get alive, he die once. He come alive once, he dies once. Just God said, the day you eat of it, you will surely die. He didn't say you will shall die. You will surely die. Certainly. So it's not talking about what's going to happen in the future. You will die the same day, the day you eat of it. He didn't say you shall. You will. So he doesn't know the concept of death of the spirit. Spirit death is just that it's cut off from life. And it ceases to perform. And the day is quickened back to life, it begins to perform again. Amen. Praise God. But it's the soul that it should not perish but have. It should not. It should have. So it shall have. If it keeps on in faith, it shall have everlasting life. It should not perish. It should have. Or it should inherit everlasting life. So that's why the focus, once the soul can be demystified, unveiled, and we can understand the administration of grace to the soul. Wow, we are blessed. Amen. Amen. Because we see it possible. One of the things that you see is as if it's impossible. It looks as if it's difficult. For 10 years, we're born again, as it were. Why are things this way? You know, it's because we don't know what is going on. Praise God. Amen. That's why it's not right to do any exam without having access to the course outline and having access to the syllabus. It's not good, because you're going to waste energy. So we're just saying this and saying what God has spoken ahead of time. So we read Ezekiel sometimes ago. God said there in the book of Ezekiel chapter 36, God said, I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean, and from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit, and from there and on, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Praise God. That's God's expectation for all of them in the land. It's not just for one of them. All of them. And you're going to see later on that the ultimate of what God expects is that we will come into His love. That's what God expects. And that's why there are three that abide. There are faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of them is charity. And we'll discover last time that it's not, you can't just come to charity like that one. You have to go through the door of faith, door of hope, to come to charity. Because charity is a being. It's a personality. You become charity. You don't just have charity. You become charity. Amen. Praise God. You become like Christ. Charity. Love. God does not have love. God is love. The love of Christ that passes all. The love of Christ is a personality. So it's going to, so it's a change or transformation that brings us into a being, a new being. Praise God. And so we're seeing that it's important for us to fulfill faith, the document of faith, completely, very well, as it is in the New Testament, if we will ever come to charity. I will say last time that it's not just doing good deeds. You remember that? Praise God. It took a long time for that book of Corinthians to be understood. Very, very. It looks so. It leaves you like. Then what? What? It takes away all in your hands. You know what I'm saying? All you have been doing that makes you feel like I am trying. It takes it away. All your sacrifice and offering, it just takes it away from you. But when you just do something good to your brother and sister, you just feel like I'm walking in love. I'm walking in love, you know. I just have to fulfill love. But it takes it away, all your sacrifice and offering. Praise God. And I truly say the sacrifice of God is of a broken heart and a contrite. So it's a nature, it's a person. That's God's sacrifice. So God is not primarily mindful of those things we do. It's what we become. That is what is pleasing to him. So you're going to see that charity is just a personality. It's a heart. It's a nature. Hallelujah. So for that to be done, there has to be proper cleansing. And so we're going to look more into that today, okay? As if I'm going to finish this thing. It's just opening the mall, okay? So we can see the nitty-gritty of the whole thing. Praise God. Amen. In the prophet, we'll just look at, God's complaint. God has to complain seriously about Israel, the city of Jerusalem, because his expectation in them was not fulfilled. What God expected. Let's see Isaiah chapter 1. Let's see chapter 1 of Isaiah and see God's complaint concerning Israel. Chapter 1, verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? Unto me, saith the Lord, I am full of burnt offerings, of rams and of fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of eagles. He's the one who gave those prescriptions for them in the book of Leviticus, right? But they have made him a bloody God who just take delight in those things. And then they knew that all of that was for them, was not for God, was for them. Was to take care of their soul, pending the time when the real job will be done. Amen. So they turn into make blood, God bloody, and okay, that's what you want. Like you pay penance for your sin. So it's like your system they develop today, sin more, So already you know what is going to be the cost of it, of the sin. So when you do it, just take the offering to the priest and offer it. Amen. And God did that one to ensure that the sins can be covered so that judgment does not come on them. Pending the time when the law of God will fulfill his intention in the souls of men. The souls is what he died for. The soul is what he wants to harvest back. Praise God. So God, what is the purpose for this? When you come to appear before me, you are required this at your hand. To tread my courts. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. In the new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with is this iniquity. Even the solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Verse 16. Watch you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to practice evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless and plead for the widows. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Are you there with me? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If he be willing and obedient, he shall hear the good of the land. But if he refuse and rebel, he shall devour with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How is this, is a faithful city, become an alert? See the state before. It was full of judgment. Are you there? Righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers. So you see that city was called faithful because entities of some people, because when you say murderers, but now murderers, it means that judgment and righteousness become their personalities. Yeah? Or they were stature of attainments. So I say judgment was in the city, or in the street, does not mean that they do just judgment. People have attained to judgment, to righteousness. But now instead of that, you have what? Murderers. So the word they were used there as noun, not just verb. Is he it now? Are you there with me? So it's describing of that city. It was a faithful city. And because it was a faithful city, some beings or entities dwell in there. So that's why they can do justice and do righteousness. Because righteousness lodge in it. Because judgment lodge in it. Now that silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. I'm going to read down to 28. Okay? Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless. Neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of my adversary and avenge me of my enemies. These are people have become enemies now. And I will turn my hands upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away what? All thy sin. I will restore thy judges. Can you see that? As at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of what? The faithful city. Now, when it's called a city, it's not talking about land space. It was people, it was describing as a city. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. The Mount Zion is the mountain of God's sons that makes the mountain of Zion. And that's why entities of the Spirit also are dwellers there, because God's people are mounting there as stones in the mountain of Zion. Praise God. Amen. I will restore thy judges as at the first and thy counselors at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Oh, verse 27. Zion shall be redeemed with what? Judgment, and a convert with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressor and of the sinner shall be taken together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. Hallelujah. Let me read another place to us. It's chapter 4. And in that day, some women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent. That's not the fruit of the dead. The fruit of the earth is talking about those that will be redeemed from the earth. The fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. That is those who runs to the mountain of Zion. And shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion. So they actually moved out of Israel and moved to Zion. And that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy. Even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away what? The filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall purge the blood of Jerusalem. How will he do it? From the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. There in chapter 1 he said, he will redeem them with what? With judgment and converse with righteousness. Here it says, he will purge them with blood. He will purge the blood of Jerusalem. He will wash away the filth of it by the spirit of judgment and of the spirit of burning. So what we call washing actually has to do with this process of judgment and burning. When here you sanctify by the word, by the truth, that administration is a spirit. It's by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. Amen. It's that spirit that administers judgment, that administers burning. When you say burning, Born actually is another word used for righteousness. Do you know that? It's another word used for righteousness. That's why I said, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as what? As brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamb that burneth. So burning, spirit of burning, is the spirit of righteousness. So it's saying what is said in chapter 1 as what he will do to ensure that he's able to take excellent fruit from the earth, which the whole nation of Israel represent. Praise God. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, and upon the assembly a cloud and a smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. So it's describing exactly the purification of these people, so that they can come into the estate of charity. What happens on mountain of Zion is charity. Praise God. That's the feast that happened on the mountain. So it's preparation for the feast. They must be purified. They must be born in. They must be born in lamp of righteousness. Praise God. See verse 7 of chapter 5. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. That's the vineyard of the Lord of hosts. And the men of Judah is pleasant plant. And he looked for what? What did he look for? Judgment. But behold, oppression. For righteousness. So it's not just a matter of just a circumstantial expression. The consistency is clear that what God will do to the children of Israel is that he's going to ensure that these two operations happen there. Righteousness and judgment. So when you say that somebody is purified by truth, he must experience purification by righteousness and purification by judgment. Or he must experience washing by righteousness and washing by judgment. Amen? That's what can make the soul to attain to divine standard. Because after he's been washed, it means that he's able to appear. He's used a lot of language now, typifying the washing of a bride. So he can meet the standard of appearance before the groom, is that not? Huh? Praise God. So it's been standardized from just the mere women in the world to the woman that is designed for the king. Isaiah 28. Let's read Isaiah 28. Okay, let's read verse 5. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a crown of beauty. That is the same thing about when the crown of beauty says, like making Jerusalem beautiful, making them comely in that day, is bringing forth fruit of the earth, is all attaining to glory. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. And for a spirit, the Lord will be for a spirit of judgment. Can you see that? To him that sits in judgment. So it means that judgment is a seat or is a position. And for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. Strength there is still expressing righteousness. And but there also have heard through wines and through strong drink and out of the way. The priest and the prophet have heard through strong drink. So if there are priests and prophets there, what they expect is that they should be able to produce this judgment and righteousness. That is their ministry. That is the reason why they are. That is their office. Praise God. Through strong drink, and they are swallowed up of wine, they are out of the way through strong drink, they err in vision, and they stumble in what? Judgment. They can't hit the exact thought in God's mind. Oh my, that's... For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the meek and drawn from the breast. For priesthood must be upon precept, line upon line. line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people. To him he said, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the will to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, line upon line and line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, these comfort men that rule these people which is in Jerusalem. Let's read. Because he has said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement, and when the overflowing score shall pass. No, we read this on Sunday. When the overflowing score shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. And I said on Sunday, I said, this does not appear as lie, actually. It appears as real. It appears as real, and it appears as if it can sustain them. But because he has said, we have made covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. That's God speaking. When the overflowing score shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. What's the next verse? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not make haste. There's the next verse. See the next verse. Can we read together that next verse? Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hay shall sweep the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing score shall pass through, then you shall be thrown down by it, because it's going to raise this standard of the building. Righteousness to the line, and what? Judgment to the lie, and righteousness to the plummet. Describing again what we use to raise the standard. So it means what is going to stand as the stopper of the overflowing scourge are men, are people. Right? Amen. Amen. They are men that will stop the scourge. I think last night I was talking about being able to cooperate with God in what he wants to do. For it's not just a time when God will intervene on our behalf. In this very scheme, we are partner in the assignment. Without us, it won't be done. God will use another method, but it won't be salvation. You understand? Praise God. So we can always stay forever for interventions, and for the next 1,000 years, that's okay. God will keep intervening. At one point, he will allow trouble to come. He will intervene. But we will not be saved. To be saved means to be totally rescued. Not to be bound again. That's salvation. In that matter, we are a vital entity, and our place cannot be replaced. Amen. Nobody will do it for us. Man is designed for it. Hallelujah. So it's clear that righteousness and judgment is what the prophet saw as what God will do, or what God will raise, or what God will use to build the entities. If it's not righteousness and judgment, then it does not meet his divine standard. And that's explained as it's revealed in the same Isaiah 11 concerning Jesus. Said the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and what? Understanding. Are we right together? The Spirit of joy, of counsel and mind. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. What is going to happen? Shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reproved after the hearing of where? Of his ear. What happened to him? But with righteousness shall he judge. So it's righteousness and judgment. Can you see that? And reproof with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. So why the earth will obey him, why he will strike the man, it's not just of who he is, it's what he is made up of. It's what he has become. So when you see Jesus does things and Spirit obeys, not just because of an anointing, it's passing. So mentally we expose him. What do we have to do with you, thou son of God? You always hide there, son of man. You're son of God. Don't destroy. We know our day is coming. Can you just give us a little time more? So it's because of who he is, what he's made of. And so God says he's going to purge Jerusalem and ensure that he restore back the spirit of judgment. There will be purification by the Spirit. The blood of Jerusalem, the life they have lived, will be purged. And they will receive a different life of righteousness and judgment. Hallelujah. So you can see the seven spirit resting upon Jesus to prepare that entity for that nature of righteousness. And you know in Isaiah 28 it talks about it as plummet and as lion. Right? Amen. What we're saying is that the things that are against man can't be dealt with by man. Man can't deal with it. Okay, man can only try and try and try and try run about it. And they will actually end up giving up. Because they are stronger than man. Because man lost certain vital strength that was designed to make him have what it takes to deal with them. Because you don't know what it's called life. You don't know what it's called life. What we call, what God calls lies, what we call to us is true. So when I say you make lie your refuge, after you make lie your refuge, God to you, it's real. It's dependable. Or everybody is living by it. So when you are seeing your future, you see them as what is going to take you to your future. Because that's what everybody is seeing as a vehicle to the future. Praise God. And so by that, the law of God makes no sense anymore. You understand what I'm saying? Once you have a means to make progress to your future, you don't care about what is. God becomes just like a symbol, you know? Like just one thing they mention, are just part of it. And that's what in church, just a part of it. You just go to church and study part of it. And just climb and dance. And it's a social thing, you know what I'm saying? And you do all of that, just, your children will grow up in church. You have things to do. Your children wedding, you grow up in church. Okay, so it becomes a social system. I will help this. And when that comes in there, all manner of wickedness begins to transpire. Because you live by what becomes a means to survive. So that was the state the nation became. It became just a religious system where God's value, God's life, God's righteousness is no more sin. Because there are that integral things that makes it happen. You can't do justice if you don't have judgment. There must be judgment because you can do justice. But when they think justice, we complain. And we cannot attend to it, can't undo injustice if there's no judgment. So it's restoring us back to the material, the material that actually makes the city to become city of peace, city of truth, city of joy. Hallelujah. So it's telling us that humans are actually buildings. That you need to raise man up. You don't need to build man up. That's why yabbing man about doing wrong doesn't change the man. It doesn't change the man. You yabbing and yabbing and yabbing, nothing has happened to him. The worst is that he just feels in his mind, maybe I'm wrong a little bit. But we are also all wrong. Even when they see the one who is yabbing himself, he says, I was wrong. Amen. Many times when you see things like this happen in Nigeria, that happen in the church in Nigeria, happen, what it does is just strengthen more people to believe that nobody is perfect. Is that not? If somebody just trying to be Better person. Nobody is wrong. We are all culprit. It's the one you have sinned to death is wrong. Everybody is wrong. So what does he do? It legalizes unrighteousness. Amen. But God's standard is not, it doesn't change. As the Bible says, let him that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. The foundation of the law standeth sure. It stands. So we're looking at the foundation, the founding material of God. Stands sure. Only let him that nameth. God does not change. His standard is sure. It's just on your own part to ensure that you are connecting and you are reflecting the true standard. Your misbuild does not annul God's standard. Amen. So the job is to reveal that standard and see exactly what is God's mind. How does he intend to achieve what he wants to achieve on the earth here? So we see man's inadequacy, but we see God's adequacy, right? Praise God. And you say God is able to do all things. No, it's not a confession. Instead, you are just asserting a reality. He is able, more than able, to do what? To accomplish what concerns me today. And you are just, you are making a statement of fact. But if you're going to say, I'm going to cooperate, then you are making what is real. Because it is your own part that is questionable. It's your own part that is unquestionable.
Thank you, name Jesus. For yes, you wonder in your heart, can I make this commitment? You wonder in your heart, can I ever be true to this cause? And I say to you, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. For grace is available. Grace is available. You can become steadfast. You can also become immovable. You can abound like your God. You can abound like your Savior. You can become strong like your God. You can become unshakable. Just continue. Just follow on. Just follow on. Commit yourself bit by bit. Commit yourself bit by bit. And one day, you will see that you have given all of yourself. For everyone that cometh to God, first must believe that he is. Then that he rewards they that believe that he is. For when you come in this manner, you will become a reality before God. You will soon become an entity to be reckoned with, a force of righteousness, a man raised by judgment in the earth. Do not consider yourself feeble. Do not consider yourself weak. For faith was made for men who are weak. Faith was made for mortal men. Faith was given for men who are feeble. For when you come via the door of faith, soon you will realize that the gospel can become yours.
Amen. So it's possible. It's available, right? It's available. It's not just something God is trying to say just to fascinate us. No, he has provided for it. And that's why we're looking to the heart of God at this time, seeing those precious provisions that he has made available for us. Praise God. Amen. So we've seen righteousness. We've seen what? Judgment. Righteousness and judgment. Now, the thing is that all of those two things, which he called righteousness, judgment, which are actually expression of the seventh spirit. It is the seventh spirit that describes that nature of righteousness. Okay, they are the teacher of those that of righteousness, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord shall make him of quick understanding. All of that, what that spirit of righteousness and judgment does is quick. The product is quick understanding. Because it's just one light, right? Seven light, but exactly one light. The seven of them produces only one illumination. So it gives a quick judgment. Quick erases the high side to see the way the Lord sees in the same way. Okay? Praise God. It shall make him of quick understanding the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eye, nor reprove after the hearing of his ear. So you can see eye and hair there. And but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and with equity for the meek of the earth. He's talking about what the ear and the eye would do. But we know that hair is what hearing, is it not? And when you hear for faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Is that not true? Praise God. Faith does what? Comes by hearing. And so what do you attain to righteousness? It is faith that brings it to righteousness. Is that not true? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So faith unveils righteousness. So when a man says he's receiving faith, what is he receiving? He's receiving righteousness. So he will not judge at the sight of his eye, nor reprove about the hearing of his ear. So it means that faith is what the ear assesses. Judgment is what the eye sees. Faith is what the ear assesses. Judgment is what the eye sees. So this same two instrument of judgment and righteousness is talking about that gave him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Are we together? Praise God. Do you see it? Is it clear there, please? Is it clear? Amen. Let's read again. That verse 2, let's read again. I'm feeling that I'm not picking some people. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of mind, counsel and mind. Spirit of knowledge. And of those seven spirits is like seven lampstand. It's the Spirit of the Lord. It's seven spirit of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And it's to be found at the lampstand in the holy place, which burns with seven flames. Right? And the seven flames are on the same line. So that seven flame forms a line. It must be on the same line, even if it's the seven spirit. Right? And it is the rod that grows up to become, to attain to that same stature of seven. But it's actually the same, it's one spirit that is having that seven expressions. Praise God. But what all of those seven spirits does actually is to give air and eyes. Because the spirit speaks faith. It communicates. When it communicates, at the end of the day, what the eyes will see by the communication is one thing. The eyes will see one judgment. Are we right together, please? See 1 Corinthians. Let's see what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. You know, when we are going to open things more, you know, you start with general biology. From there, you go more a little bit deeper. You will need to do much more also attention. Is that not true? So, just a little more attention. That's what we need from where we are coming from. So, it can make its full sense. Amen. But the things are not as simple as they appear. God is just saying one thing. See, the whole book is also only one thing he's saying. He wants to raise men that will stop the ravage of lies. They're not going to be just mere men. I said 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. For he that is spiritual judgeth all things. He ought in service judge of no man. So see, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have, it says, we as corporate, we corporately have the mind of Christ. But it's not just me alone, we corporate existence. So it means that we have the same judgment. But it's that same judgment is not actually available to Paul alone. Are we in the hospice? It's corporate existence, we have the mind. So there's no person actually that has completely the same spirit in the same manner. But it's describing Christ there. It is Christ is described in Isaiah 11. It's talking about the Son of Jesus. I know what it says. See, let's go back there. Chapter 11, verse 1. Praise God. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. That's not you. That's the Messiah. Stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. So he's the one that has the seven spirit. It's also called the seven eye. It's the seven eye of the Lord. That's one in Zechariah. It's the eye of the Lord that watches to and fro the earth. That's the eye that can raise precious fruit from the earth to God. The earth has to yield to God precious fruit. On that day, the fruit of the earth will be beautiful, will be precious. Can you see that? It can't be precious if it's not raised. So they have to raise this entity with that nature so I can raise others. Amen. Praise God. So describe him shall have quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after this sight. You see Jesus Christ's display of life in the gospel. It's amazing, and you can hardly just think like that. On every issue, the way he approaches it is never the same. Now, if you're studying character study, there will be a manner of way somebody behaves in all the time. You know what I'm saying? And you will learn from him that manner. But with this person, there's no consistent character. All you can say is that he's meek, that's the only constant character, and lowly. Even when he has to chase out people who are buying and selling in the temple, he still maintains his meekness and lowliness. I am meek and lowly. Learn of me. Learn of me. How do you learn of meekness and lowliness? There are things that make him meek. You can't learn meekness. You don't have the spirit. Can you see what I'm saying? Learn to be meek. You will be acting meekness. It's not your nature. There are things in him that made him, I am meek. It's a personality. I am not behaving meek. I am meek and lowly. Those two things, you can't try to copy it. It's spirit upon him that made him like that. That spirit that took on him that made him meek and lowly. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I was saying that there's no single person among us that have that character or that nature. We don't have it. We don't have in the full expression of how Jesus Christ of Nazareth had it. Amen. Praise God. They try to pin him down all the time. He will just it's not just gift of the spirit. It was rest. You were talking, it sees your heart, not by gift of the spirit. You say one thing, you know what you're going to say next. And you can learn all of those things in philosophy and all of that. Praise God. You study Umakbu's character. It will not still not reproduce a man. This entity is a man of the spirit. It's not just a man who was cooled on earth. I will write together, please. We teach policemen how to know criminals. They just look at the eyes and just three of you are just oh, come down, go there. There's a way criminal eye appear. You know what I'm saying? If I just committed one offense, there's a way your eye will blush. So they apply all of that and they pick criminals. They pick, you know, all of that. But they can't know what is in the heart. They can't know motives. They will have to interrogate you, pick you, interrogate you, ask many questions to start finding out many things about you. Right? But by the Spirit, those things are made bare. By the Word of God. Like the Word of God is quick and powerful. What is giving that quick understanding is the Word of God. So you will see that the Word of God, which is called truth, is the one that is embodied in the seven spirit. Actually, the seven spirit are the one that transmit the Word of God. Are we in the house, please? Amen. As each time you hear the throne of God in Revelation, you will see the seven spirit there. They are the vehicle to see God. Without them, you can't access the throne. And that's why they are the spirits of God. Each time you see them, the next thing is that you see the throne, you see God. How in the house this? Hallelujah. So when he was going to raise the Son on the earth, he also sent the seven spirit to come and do that. That's why without the seven spirit, your sins cannot be purged. They are the one that purges sin. How in the house this? So when he says spirit of righteousness and judgment, is the seven spirit. That's what they raise, righteousness and judgment. They won't appear anymore as seven spirit. What you now see in you is that it's righteousness and judgment. You understand the thing. But they are the entities that raises righteousness and judgment. Check Zechariah, somewhere in Zechariah there. Talk about the storm before Joshua. He has seven eyes. Praise God. It's three. Verse 9. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua. And that stone is not just a stone, it's a person. It's a spirit person. Okay? Upon one stone shall be what? Seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the engraving thereof, said the Lord of hosts. And I will do what? I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. That one day is by one walk. I will remove the iniquity of that. So it's the seven spirit that does the purging and cleansing. But it's called the spirit of purging. When they work together, they work as spirit of purging and of burning. Amen. Praise God. So I was reading Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians. For who has known the mind of the Lord? That he may instruct him. Who has known the man that he may instruct him? And he said, but we have the mind of Christ. And in that place, he instructs that we should walk in the same mind. Let me see. Is it 2 Corinthians? Let me see the place. Praise God. Chapter 1 verse 10, please. Are you in chapter 1 verse 10 of Corinthians? Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak. Are you there? The same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly what? Joined together in the same mind. And in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now, if there is contention, it means that the things you have are not harmonizing. I will ask you that, please. They are not aligning. You guys have things. But the things you have, I'm of Peter, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. All of that, if it aligns, it won't be a problem. Because you are supposed to have the same judgment. Because you are supposed to function by judgment. Are we in the house, please? You are supposed to attain to judgment. You are supposed to come by righteousness to judgment. You must acquire righteousness and judgment. And righteousness is, it keeps revealing, it keeps unveiling from faith to faith. Is that not right? So it's a continuous process. So you keep growing in righteousness because you see what is right in God, as if it's in Christ. I wait together. So as you grow in righteousness, you also got to grow in judgment. But you don't have all judgment. You don't have all judgment. And you're supposed to come to all judgment. Because all judgment was committed to Jesus. The Father loved the Son and committed all judgment to Him. Because He's the Son. What's the difference between righteousness and judgment in the first place? What's righteousness and judgment? You're going to see here, I was talking about putting on Christ. I was talking about put on a new man. You put on a new mind. You put on, what are you putting on? It's righteousness you are putting on. I went in the house this. Praise God. What are you putting on? Righteousness. What Christ, who Christ is, who is revealed to be, is what you put on as a new man. Don't remember what we taught here about the mind and the heart. Don't forget that. Right? We said the mind is the what? The mind is what? Inward man. The heart is what? Hidden man. Thank you very much. And the first washing is on the mind, is it not? Praise God. So it's truth being applied to the mind. That truth applied to the mind is righteousness. Is the water of truth applied to the heart. But you don't still have what it takes to engage the frame of lie if you don't come to judgment. The whole body of Christ on the earth here, we have our various righteousness. Is that not true? Amen. Praise God. What is righteousness in this church is not God righteousness in that church. Is that not true? Varying righteousnesses. And to us, it's well embraced and seriously embraced as the standard of our churches. Why are we saying there? We don't care about judgment. Because if you care about judgment, then you need to keep the same righteousness to arrive at the same judgment. So we stay in our righteousnesses and we brag in there. But you can't engage the wicked one by that alone. You must engage the wicked one by both righteousness and judgment. Amen. When you read through the scriptures and see when the beast was fighting the people of God, both in Daniel and Revelation, the beast fought and the beast overcame. The beast fought, the beast overcame until judgment was given to the saints. When judgment was given to the saints fought and they overcame the beast. Praise God. So the church at Corinth was weak. Why? They have varying righteousness that can never take them to the same judgment. So they are divided. They have the gift of the Spirit. They have all manner of things happening among them. Are we in the house, please? They have their service. They have this, the move of the Spirit in their services, all of that. But they can't grow. They can't grow far. Because they are not aligning towards the same judgment. They are not walking the same righteousness. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. That is righteousness revealed to them. They are walking the same righteous standing of Christ. They all believe in Christ. Is that not true? But there's no need for righteousness to be revealed to them. When it's revealed to them, their ears are open. When their ears are open, their eyes become open. Over time, they're going to see the same thing in the same way. we can see the same thing the same way if we know how God ordained to bring us to judgment. Most of the time, what happened to us in churches? The things called righteousness of the churches were instituted when the churches began. When the palace began, they had their mode of righteousness. When it didn't begin, and those ministers who began them were young. They have not attained to maturity. So they will bring up a lot of things that seemed good. Someone like Pastor Kobe today, the many things he did 20 years ago that he will not do the same way today. Has God changed? No, he's the one who is changing. He has come to judgment. He's coming to higher judgment. But the structure he created cannot move easily. So you find out that when he as a person meets another minister, they flow together. But the members cannot flow with other members. Because they are not, can you see that? Because they are staying in the righteousness he created when he was younger.
For immaturity divides you. Immaturity limits you. Imperfection shows in your division. But when you become mature, when you come to judgment, your strength is united.
Yeah.
Your strength becomes stronger. Because your brother's strength adds to your strength and makes you a formidable force.
Yeah.
So says the Spirit of the Lord, in this day I am bringing forth a church that is coming to judgment.
Yeah.
I am bringing forth a church that has the revealed righteousness. I am bringing forth a church that whose righteousness is revealed. For when righteousness is revealed, when righteousness is revealed, it moves you to perfection. It moves you to judgment. For this dragon will be defeated. This dragon will be defeated. Even the prophets have prophesied, judgment will be given to the saints. And you will see judgment given to the saints.
Yeah.
For righteousness that bringeth judgment will be taught the saints.
Yeah.
Will be taught the saints. Will be taught the saints. Therefore, I begin to empower the church afresh to bring forth righteousness as it is in the Lamb. Righteousness as it is on the throne, so that we can raise a church that comes to judgment. For judgment will be given to the church again. Judgment is authority. Judgment is authority. Judgment is authority. As it is in God, to bring the kingdom of God and establish it on earth, judgment will be given to the church again.
Amen.
Righteousness revealed must be taught.
Yeah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So you see the reason why we have to stay on the revelation of God's righteousness. Okay, as we go to in other righteousness to support ourselves when we are not yet strong to have such support. Are we right? Praise God. When you don't have the stamina, God wants to remain weak like that. So you would depend on Him so He can strengthen us. Praise God. Okay, so you see that it's righteousness and judgment. We have to come to the same mind, and in all judgment. All judgment. Perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same. So if it can't be representing the same thing. So when you say judgment, it's of the heart. It's heart that bears judgment. It's actually the heart and the conscience that bears judgment. Praise God. What did I say? It is the heart and the conscience that bears judgment. Aha. So, we were talking last Sunday on the saving of the conscience, talking about the fact that if the conscience is not purified, it cannot come to charity. So if the heart cannot bear judgment, it cannot come to charity. So the heart must bear judgment. Understand that you can't bear judgment alone. It is Jesus that has judgment. That is why we must err one another. Can you see that? Praise God. And that is why you must see judgment as it's been raised by men who have come to judgment. From there, you will come to more judgment until you come to all judgment. You can increase in judgment and before you can come to all judgment. Because your love is supposed to abound more and more in all judgment. Let's see Philippians and read that place. You know, that love there is charity. Verse 9, and I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. Knowledge is in faith, in righteousness, and in all judgment. The same mind is in the same knowledge. Is it not? Are you seeing it? In the same knowledge and in all judgment. See verse 10. That you may approve things that are what? Are excellent. That you may be sincere. Can you see that? So judgment actually moves you into sincerity. If you're not handling God's judgment, you can't say you are sincere. It is what makes the heart, it's what proves the heart to make the heart sincere. But when you see God's judgment, you drop your own judgment. It shows you are sincere. Are we in the house, please? Or you can separate between God's judgment and what you think is right. Sometimes we use our righteousness to establish God's righteousness. Is that not? The fact that you are not doing a thing, you teach that it is right or wrong because of yourself. You teach yourself as a standard. You're not sincere. God is not you. So you must separate between God's righteous judgment and who you are. And let God be God. So we can all move towards God. Amen. Praise God. So you will know that God is higher than your pastor. His righteousness is higher than your pastor. We're all aspiring to move in there. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. That he may approve things that are excellent. So if you don't come into judgment, you will oppose excellent things. Because excellent things come from excellent way. I show you a more excellent way. That's the way to come into knowing excellent things. So you can see exactly why I'm coming back here today. I don't want to come into charity without seeing the intricacies of what is to bring about purification unto charity. So we must separate our things from his things. Is that right? Praise God. Amen. What did I say? You must separate our things from his own things. Paul said that I may be found not having my own righteousness, which is after the law, but the righteousness of faith. So he knows that he has his own righteousness. Do you know you have your own righteousness? What seemeth right to you? I just like shirt. I just like simple shirt. I don't like suit. I don't just like suit. Now, you must know that is to you is right in the flesh. It's not right in Christ. Because that does not elevate, it does not build anything up. It does not make better. Now what is the problem there? If we stay in there and push it, it will divide us. It will weaken us and we lose judgment. We will not come into all judgment. So we don't have a strength on the earth yet, because you are supposed to be established righteousness and judgment on the earth. It means whatever you say on the earth, whatever you stand to say on the earth, it says it's banned in heaven. Whatever you lose on the earth is loose in heaven. So you stand there and you ban something and nobody is losing the same thing somewhere. That's the house of confusion. Is that not true? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So, when we are functioning in the spirit, the devil knows that we are weak. When he knows, this is our judgment. Sometimes what is judgment? Judgment is the final say. After all of this, what is the final say? What's the final position? What is heaven now saying? You know, after we have preached 1 hour, what is heaven now saying? So, judgment is not condemnation. Is that right? Say, the guy is judged. He's judged. No. It's not condemnation. It may only mean financially or passing word. Just said, do not judge. So you will not be judged. What it's saying is that do not pass a financial. It didn't say you should not make known your thoughts. But your thoughts may not be a final say. Now, when somebody is a stupid person, it's a final say. Is it not? You have named him, he's a stupid person. What did the other one? You summed together a behavioral pattern and you gave it a name. Is that not? The guy is a stupid person. Anyone who hears you does not know what he did wrong. They let you think as stupid because you have defined their personality. Eh? I say he's a moron. Praise God. Says the fool. That guy's a fool. Wants to name like that one, it's not easy to make him wise. I went in the house, please. Or he's a liar. You have to find him. When you meet him, if he says 1, 2, 3, just know that he's said something has been spoken that is not true. But if he says what you said is not true, it doesn't make him a liar. Are we right? So don't judge. Sir, you don't be judged. Because when you are judged, you don't like it. Now we go take a lot of training. I want to pass the final words to you. If there's anything that scatters home more, it is final words. My husband will always be angry. Say, am I a devil? Am I a devil that I'm always angry? Always be angry. It's always angry. This is your anger. Amen. And when you know people over time, you seem to just know who they are and personalize it. Is it not? So we know. I know her. I know her. And you say, I know him too. I know her. I know him. I know her. So you don't know my wife. You say, you don't know my husband. So the wife knows her husband too much. But that knowing that could have been a help to the home can be the break out of the house. So if you're going to sustain a relationship, don't pass judgment. So deal with issues, don't name the person. And that's a lot of training, because it is the easiest thing to always want to say. Because with all you have been doing, you just always ignore somebody. How many times have I ignored you? And I know, Tracy, it's last week. He ignored you last week. It's 2 weeks ago. You always ignore somebody. Amen. Okay, so let's I'm just talking about natural things now. Are we in the house business? But we know all of these spiritual things also dissipate into our natural life. I think you know that. You can't separate them. It's part of our life. So it moves from that judgment of the things of the spirit also come to the things of the natural. So the church should come into all judgment. But it must mean that we have come to accept that we have our own righteousness and want to do away with our own righteousness. As we do away with our righteousness, then we seek His own righteousness. Because it is the one that can make known His righteousness. Nobody knows it. If somebody get born again today, he just seems to know all he should do. In fact, if he has some encounter with the Lord, the next 1 week, 2 months, he will start church. And he will give sets of instructions on righteousnesses. You don't know it. Righteousness is not something you just hijack. It is made known. It's made known. You don't know it until it is made known to you. So what you do is that you seek righteousness. I went to the house this. When the Lord says that you are seeking righteousness, it will make it known to you. You must seek righteousness. You must look for righteousness. You must desire to know righteousness. When you do that, then you become a vessel that can advance us in coming to judgment. Because you will not say anything that you have not heard. Not just that I heard, God said to me that cap is wrong, not that. God will have to make it known to you. It's not just said to you, it's made known. God will explain why, what He's doing by it. That's how it's going to make you know that is a personal experience. It's not a corporate thing. But there's something that happens to you that is personal. It's not corporate. If it's personal, observe it as a person. Don't transfer it to our common experience. You don't build prayer pattern for us from your personal experience. You build it by revelation of truth. So what you find Paul explaining in all these epistles is making known the righteousness of God that is without the law, that is witnessed by the law and the prophet. That is the righteousness of God which is of faith of Jesus Christ. That was it was making known. It was making known that righteousness which is by faith of Jesus Christ, which is without the law. You don't need to practice the law to come into that righteousness. So as he was teaching it, people were losing strength to obey the law. By the way, at that point, Jews who got converted, who doesn't know, how can you do please God without doing the law? So they believe Jesus, but they're adding Jesus to the righteousness of the law. But as the Lord make it known to Paul, I'm going to explain it. They gain strength to do righteousness without the law. Hallelujah. You know, it's like saying you that you are in church and you are praying and okay, example, that and you don't have your hair tie like somebody who has cold. Okay? If you pray without your head scarf, as it were, it's as if you're not praying. If that is the righteousness that was sold to you when you got believed, is that not true? Simon, did you pray about it? But that thing that is right only exists in you. So it was fed in you. I went in the house place when you believed. Or even before you believed, by observation, it was sold to you. So they will have to make it known to you. The day the Lord said to me, when you are in the bathroom, do you pray? Say, you pray. He has not even explained the scripture. He was just telling to him, talk to me. The people pray in the bathroom, they pray on the road. Or you have to get to your own knee down first before you pray. No, he said, pray always. Pray without ceasing. Men ought to pray, not to faint. You pray everywhere. You pray at all times. You pray in every season. So I know God is the Spirit. He does not need any form to answer prayers. So it's making known what is right by Christ. Can you see that? If you don't want that, you say, S-I-J-G. Ah, explain it from God's righteousness. He can't explain it. And he will put it all in zeal and condemn the whole world. A shelenda, a celebra, a majestum. Explain to us by righteousness. He doesn't know anything about it. And the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That you are angry does not make God angry. It's your job to find out what makes God angry. If you don't know that, you are just going to be pious and you are shouting, backing, nobody's hearing what you're saying. But it's not making sense by revelation. What happens? You can never come to judgment because you are not depending on revelation of righteousness. Your judgment will always be wrong. What does that mean? You won't be able to do things the way Jesus would do it exactly. Your behavior at issues will be away from Christ's behavior. You will be angry when Jesus is not angry. Yes. When he's angry, you won't be angry. And you'll be pious everywhere as if you are going to heaven. And you're going nowhere. So the gospel is the revelation of God's what? Righteousness. That's how to purify the field. There are many fields that look like a religious field. Religious field. There are behavioral field, sexual field, all manner of field, filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. A man who fears God is the one that God makes you understand. What did I say? A man who fears God is the one that God makes to understand. When you tremble at God's understanding, you have the fear of God. It's not a piety, it's not a pious look, it's not a pious behavior. Is that when God comes with his word, you tremble at his word. What is his word? It's understanding. Not at the verse. Not verse. At God's understanding. God is not verses of the Bible. God is understanding. Because there are people that can fight you with the verse of the Bible. The Bible says in verses of so chapter. The Bible says. The Bible says. Everybody on earth has Bible says. But what is Jesus saying? What is he saying? Amen. So, it takes time to come to know righteousness. That's why that tongue came and said, you need to take time. Is that not? Yeah, you need time. You don't know. You only know little of the righteousness of God. You still need to know the righteousness of God. That's what it took Paul and explained to Paul for many years. Explained to Paul God's righteousness. That's how Paul, a Jewish man, makes no difference between a male and a female. Can you see that? It is Jesus who can make it known to you that there's no difference between them. Between the Jew and the Gentile, no difference. It is only Jesus that can make it known. Because with the dealings of God with the Jew, they are superior. They are superior. It is Jews first, then the rest of the world. But when Jesus showed up, he explained how he closed the middle of partition. He made those who were far away and those who are nigh one. Through his blood, one. That's righteousness. That's righteousness. Praise God. What's happening? As you are being renewed, what's happening to you? Your sight is changing. How you come to value, positioning. It's altered. When you bring together all your righteousness together, they form judgment. and gives you a value. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. This is administration of truth. As I just said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Learning righteousness and judgment is knowing truth. What I say, learning righteousness and judgment is knowing truth. I say it is the truth. If it's not righteousness and judgment, it is not true. That's why it's called the city of truth. Jerusalem has become the city of truth. If the city of truth, it must become the city of peace. That's the job of Levite. That's why God made with them covenant of life and peace. Because their lips keeps knowledge of righteousness and judgment. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it difficult? Is it difficult? Do you understand? That is why the church must never stop making known. That's how we grow. In 6 months, 1 year, your perception is just changing. Without anybody saying, sit down, let me change this value. No. What you are hearing have their values. Once your ears open and your eyes begin to change, your sight begin to change, your values begin to change. Have I changed? They say you have changed. You meet your friends, what happened to you? You have changed. What happened to me? Have I changed? Because nobody gave you 1, 2, 3, 4 rules, as it were. But it is the mountain of light, mountain of truth. Send thy light, send thy truth. Let them lead me to your holy mountain. Father, we thank you this evening. We give you all praise and glory. We exalt you today and forever. We appreciate you, Jesus, the Christ. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your life in us. Thank you for your strength that walk. Oh, glory to you, Jesus. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you adoration, Lord. Blessed be your name, Jehovah. The Lord is bringing forth. Is bringing forth a people. The Lord is raising a nation on the earth here. It's bigger than those of us who are here. It's across the body of Jesus Christ. A new nation is going to emerge. A nation of righteousness. A nation of judgment. Brother Bosch, Kepeli, by Reverend Paul.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teachings with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.